Our text this morning, we'll be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to be looking specifically at verses 6 through 16. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, or if you find that you can read your Bible better on your iPhone app or your Android app, please do so. But if you can join with me, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 4. Just to set us up for this text this morning, our text takes place during a time when the Apostle Paul was not with Timothy. But Paul really wanted to be with Timothy. And Timothy, being a younger pastor, Paul crafts this letter to his mentee. And it's filled with just all kinds of encouragement and specific warnings. And also specific teaching as Timothy is called to minister in Ephesus. Now, biblical commentators that I've read state that there's some question about the authorship of these letters, but we're going to assume it's Paul. In chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, Paul actually states, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, and to devote them or devote themselves to myths or endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations, and they really don't advance God's work, which is by faith. And so the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk." And so that's what Paul was saying earlier on in this letter. And there was a lot happening in Ephesus and some genuine concerns for the church plant. And so this text highlights that these concerns were based on untruths being spoken in place of the truth of the gospel. And so with Timothy in that place, that's kind of the context where he's at, Paul sends this letter. And our text today highlights some of those crucial teachings for the church then and for the church today. So as we open this text together, let me just lead you in a prayer of illumination that God may illuminate it for us and help us to see clearly what he wants us to know. Let's pray. Creator, Father God, we come to you this morning in just a variety of states of being. Some of us are tired. Some of us are distracted. Some of us are not sure what to expect. We pray that your Spirit will calm our anxieties and inspire us with your words and wisdom. May we be challenged. May we be stretched. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. The words from 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 6. "If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. The relationship between Paul and Timothy is a really fascinating one. There's this lovely elder pupilship, pupilness in it, but it seems to be more than that. There seems to be a fatherly posture that Paul models here. And as the letter continues, you sense the fondness that they have for one another. I'm always reluctant to leave these letters written to Timothy without being reminded that this young leader grew up in a house, or at least that's what we're told, where his mother and his grandmother poured into his faith formation in ways that Paul, well, he just feels so inclined to share in 2 Timothy, in the second letter, and he says these words, "I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of the hands. For what the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." In this text, we're reminded that what Timothy was taught and how he was nurtured as a child in faith formation is beautifully embodied through his life as pastor and as leader. Paul names that, and he highlights this as foundational to his ministry. Our faith stories, like Timothy's and like Paul's, are a journey, right? It's like a road trip, filled with lots of bumps and celebrations and joys and lots of questions that we have during this road trip. And it takes discipline and it takes just lots of patience. I pored over this particular text when I was first examined many years for my ordination. And it was full of wise teaching then, as it is now. And it's a helpful text for us to consider as we navigate the waters of a new ministry season, as we wrestle with a pandemic reality that is just not leaving yet. I met with a number of colleagues a number of months ago over Zoom. And we looked at this text as well. And we looked at it through the lens of Eugene Peterson, who, in his interpretation of the message, said it this way. "You've been raised on the message of faith and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus here, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus," it says there. "Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit for both today and forever. You can count on this. Take this to heart. That's why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, Savior of all men and women, especially believers. So get the word out. Teach all these things. And don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post reading scripture, giving counsel, teaching, And you know what? That special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders laid their hands on you and prayed, keep that dusted off and in use. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself into them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. And keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation. When we gathered as our group and we looked at this text from the Message, and then we also looked at it from the NIV, we asked ourselves which words or phrases stood out for us in that particular version, in the Message version. And the one that jumped out to me as I was looking at that and pondering it were these words from the Message version. Workouts and gymnasiums are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. So if you look at the NIV version in here, it says this, for physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that accepts, that deserves full acceptance. So when I read the Message version, I was drawn to the word gymnasium. It just kind of jumped out to me, and it reminded me of all the times I signed up for a gym membership, and then rarely, if ever, went. I really had good intentions, right? I really thought, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'd plan to go once a week, maybe twice a week at the very least, right? And I would eat healthier and I'd get ripped. I'd be feeling good. I'd be looking good. It didn't happen. I'm now a little slouchy. I'm not in fantastic shape. And I love to eat potato chips. They're so good. See, to live a disciplined life isn't easy. And Paul knew that. And he gently reminded Timothy of this reality. Because it's easy to fall victim to laziness, fall victim to apathy. And when this happens, we can easily be drawn into places and into conversations that do more to tear down than to build up. Sometimes we aren't ready or prepared for what comes our way when we're confronted with things that attack our bodies or what we believe. Are we prepared for this? Is the question we often ask. When I first took the call to ministry many years ago, there were two things that helped me navigate this question as Monique and I processed this reality together. First, we prayed for strength. We prayed for strength to be faithful to the call. We knew that this was a step that I needed to take, but there were things that were required of me. Each one required intentionality, and each required follow-through. Biblically, I could see more clearly what Abraham and Moses were trying to teach us with their lives and stories, where they would never see the end result of their calling, and yet they pressed on. They pressed on because they knew there was more at stake than their own agendas. And of course, Jesus, modeling his faithful call to his Father, is what we strive for. Sacrificial and holding fast to the call placed on his life, never wavering. And staying true to that course that was laid out in front of him. And second, we knew we had to be obedient to follow wherever that may take us. Moving from our comfort zones is never an easy transition, and it's a difficult adjustment for us, right? We knew that there was a larger narrative at play in this, and so we prayed often for the strength to just carry on. You see, some of us are wired for adventure and we look forward to new things and new things in front of us. And many of us cringe at the thought of change. And yet each one of us goes through change. Following Christ is never easy. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And our response is often, my cross is too heavy, Jesus. My sins are too many to count. My burdens, God, I can't deal with them. To which Jesus says, if you let me, I'll help you. I'll help you carry your cross. And your sins, well, they've been washed away. You are washed whiter than snow. And your burdens, yeah, I know about them. Can we talk? Research over the last number of decades has looked at youth and emerging adult ministries in our churches, and there's a term that's called moralistic therapeutic deism that has emerged as a new civic religion across North America. And research has taught us that this simply isn't a youth ministry issue either, but something that has impacted the entire church body. And with it comes this idea that Christ is not the only way to salvation and that God is not actively pursuing us. Let me tell you, this can't be any further away from the truth. Much like Timothy's time, controversial anti-Christ-centric theories are plaguing our world and drawing many away from the truth of the message, which put simply is here as Paul states it, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That's why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially those who believe. It takes hard work, and it takes discipline. I got to say, the last 19 months, 20 months, 20 months, I'm losing count. It's certainly disrupted our old rhythms, haven't they? And disrupted our old patterns of how we lived our lives. Church and the activities within her have been adapted to a changing reality for which for many of us have felt incredibly awkward. And at times, incredibly painful. I'm pretty zoomed out, if you know what I mean. But perhaps this time, this gift that we've been given, has taught us that maybe we need to shift from what we've known as normal to a divine normal. A normal not based on conspiracy theory or outdated methodology, but one that goes back to the gospel truth. That does not become outdated or change with the times, but one that requires us to be made new in the truth of a resurrected Jesus Christ. The empty tomb is the truth that calls us to redemption and rebirth. It calls us to die to our selfish ways. And it calls us to be faithful to our call as parents, to our call as leaders, to our call as teachers, friends, grandparents, omas and opas, caregivers, whoever we are, as God has created us to be. Our identity is rooted in a 1 John 3 understanding that we are God's children. We are God's children, placed in the world to shine His light And it calls us to be obedient to wherever God is leading us to shine that light. It's like we're on this road trip. And there are experiences that we look forward to, and others we're learning to adjust to when the construction signs show up. And then the question inadvertently arises from the back seat, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And we hear, not yet, from the front seat. And so we continue to play our road trip games, or we read. Some of us sleep and get rested for the arrival. And sometimes we're dealing with things in the back seat. Like my children, sometimes my son would edge over the line. You know what I'm talking about? And then his sister would kind of push back, get over there! And then in a few minutes, he's nodding his head asleep, leaning on his sister's shoulder. You know what I'm talking about? It's that road trip and all the experiences within it. And we trust the driver who knows the way and experience the grace-filled moments of hope and peace in the journey. Sometimes there's rough parts, but a lot of times there's joys and celebrations within them. But it all takes discipline and patience. And our days can be filled with space where we can incorporate new rhythms that we can realign with our Creator who gave His Son over to death so that we can know life. We just need to pause, to rest, and remember the words of a gentleman who was a great scholar who said, Dallas Willard, who says, in order to be ready for what's next, we need to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives so that these new rhythms can be shaped by our faithful and obedient Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Creator, provider, loving Father, we thank you for the church. There are many times where things can seem difficult as we journey along this road in which we call life. But Lord, you're calling us to something more. You're calling us to be servants of the kingdom in this part of the city of Edmonton and around the world as your children. And so, Lord, we know it's not easy. We heard in this text that Paul reminded Timothy of the difficulty of the journey, and yet the joy that comes from the journey. And so, Lord, as we continue to navigate the roads that are in front of us, some of them are new. We think about the search committee looking for a new pastor for this congregation. We think about navigating realities of programs and how do we connect with one another more intentionally. And what does this text teach us about the relationship between a person like Paul and a person like Timothy who lovingly, caringly wanted to see the best in one another? And that's what Christ is calling us to do. And so, Lord, as we take the time to go about our day today and this coming week and the following weeks and months that are ahead of us, Lord, you know what that road looks like. And so we just pray that you will guide us and care for us as we navigate it. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.